Well, praise the Lord. This is Mark Irvin again, and we're continuing on with our Bible school class on the new birth. This is a wonderful, wonderful time that we are having and going to continue to have together as we study the Word of God. I am so thankful for God's Word. I'm so thankful that we have the freedom to be able to study His Word, to learn His Word, and I'm so thankful for the tool that He gave us. No other generation in the history of the church has had the tools, the technology that we have, the internet. God told me, He said, I gave you a tool to go to the nations, and this is it, and we're doing it right now. This is absolutely a fulfillment of what He called me to do. And that was to go to the nations. And He said, this is the tool I gave you to do it. And so those of you that are out there attending Bible school all over the world, I'm so excited to be able to come to you in this way. And I know that His Word is changing your life, and you're going to help me to change other people's lives. That's why we have made this available to you on a donation basis. I want every single person that would like to get a foundation of the Word of God into them to be able to do that. Let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us as we get into our second lesson on the new birth. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you again for another opportunity to be able to share your word with each and every student. And I see them as disciples. I see them as sons of God, daughters of God, daughters of you, Father, sons of you, Father. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, you're in us. You're in each person that is listening, because I know that each person that listened to the first class, they prayed the prayer if they weren't born again. And they receive the new birth. And so every person listening now at this time is a son or a daughter of the Father. If you didn't pray that prayer, go back and listen to the first lesson, the end of the lesson, and do that. And then continue on with me. And Father, I just thank you for each and every son and daughter of you that is participating in this school, and that is growing, developing in you. Thank you for all this time that we're going to have together. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, give us revelation right now. You're the Spirit of truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In our last class, we found out that Jesus said we must be born again. We were spending time in John the 3rd chapter where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, religious man. He told Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, that in order to see the kingdom of heaven, in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must. It's not an option. There's no other way. Jesus said there's no other way. The only way is to be born again, to be born of the Spirit, to be born of God, to have God's nature imparted into us. That's what it means to be born again. And we found out that it's not by doing good works, it's not by going to church, it's not by partaking of communion, not by reading your Bible. No, that's not how you get born again. You get born again by praying a simple prayer. That's exactly what we did. And you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when that happens, God's life comes in you. You are born in the Spirit of His life. And Jesus said that we must be born of flesh. Every one of you listening out there, you were born of the flesh. You went through, I know you don't remember it, but you were birthed into this earth physically. And not only is that called flesh, giving birth to flesh, born of flesh, it's flesh. But it's also called a water birth. Water birth meaning that Right before you were born, you rode around in a womb that was full of water. And once that water sac broke, you were on your way on the inside of your mama to the hospital. Or else you needed to get there real quick. Your mama needed to get there real quick. And then you came into this earth. And after you came into this earth, it was important. Sometime in your life, you made a decision. And you did. You made a decision. Maybe some of you prayed with me in the first lesson. And you received Christ. You were born again, born in the Spirit. Sin nature was taken out of you, and you became, we'll see this in another place in the Bible, a new creation in Christ. The reason that we had to be born again is because we had a heart problem, heart meaning spirit. And the new birth is simply the rebirth of the human spirit. Not that you don't have a human spirit before you're born again. Yes, you do. That's why you are existing. That's your life. That's who you are. You are a spirit. It's the center part of you. You have a soul, and you live in a body, and it's important that you understand that. 1 Thessalonians, and we'll go over there for our first verse that we study today. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. It's toward the back of your Bible. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and I'll give you time to get there. That's why I don't have my verses looked up either, because I want to be able to give you the same amount of time that takes me to get there. That's Old Testament. 1 Samuel, the 5th chapter. Samuel, I keep saying Samuel. Yeah, well, I'm not going to edit it. Just know that sometimes we preachers don't give you the right verses. If that ever happens in the lesson, just give us grace. Look it up. You'll find it. 1 Samuel, Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Very God of peace, he's talking about being sanctified or being pure, holy. The word holy there, it's not holy like in German, heilig. It's talking about the complete person. Oh, this is so important. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You're not just spirit, and you're not soul only, and you're not body only. You are a complete being as spirit, soul, and body. And the very God of peace, verse 23, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, notice, your whole spirit, talking about whole, being whole as a person, as a human being. Human beings, this is who they are. Your whole spirit and soul. Yes, your soul is important. Look at your neighbor and say, your soul is important. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you're three parts. You as a human consist of three parts. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You are spirit. You are spirit. God is a spirit. With spirit, you contact God. He contacts you. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit, you contact the spirit realm. Your soul, you contact the mental, the intellectual realm, feeling realm, emotional realm. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And I like to say this about the body. That's your suit. That's what gives you the ability to live in this earth. And actually, that's scriptural. And John 10 talks about coming into the earth through the right door. The right door to come into the earth is the physical body. That's the door for spirit to legally carry out its nature, who it is, who you are in the earth. It's your earth suit. There's astronauts that wear space suits, and that's how they can exist in outer space. And you and I, we have an Earth suit. Our body is our house. Some of us have nice roofs on our house, and some of us are missing some of our roof on our house. Some of us have nice bigger smokestacks and others smaller. Talking about your nose. Some of us have blue windows and green windows and brown windows at your eyes. Of course, your roof is your hair, your head. Anyway, your body is your suit to live in the earth. Well, three parts, your spirit, soul, and live in a body. And the central part of man is the spirit. The spirit is the central part of man. And then the spirit is to flow through the soul. What is in you as spirit is to operate into the soul, to flow into the soul. And then what is in the soul is to flow through the physical body. Well, if the center part of man is full of sin, then what's going to happen? It's going to affect the soul, which is the mind, the will, the emotions. And the body's going to do things that are contrary to the will of God. Man had a heart problem. Man had a sin problem in the spirit. We saw that in our last teaching. That's why we must be born again. That's why man cannot go into heaven, the kingdom of God, unless he's born again, because heaven is a holy place. It's a place without any sin. There's no sin in heaven. And we as spirit beings must be born again. We must get rid of that sin nature that's on the inside of the spirit in order to go to heaven. God is holy. He's righteous. He's pure. And in order for us to be one with God in the spirit, we must get rid of that nature. We must be born again. To understand this a little bit deeper, let's talk about death. What is death for the human? There are actually three different kinds of deaths that are mentioned for the human. Three different kinds of death that are mentioned for the human. There is physical death. Death for the human never means non-existence. Death for the human being never means non-existence. It never means that we go to a condition of non-existence. Other forms of life do, but not for the human. We still exist. Why? Because you are a spirit, and spirits never come to the place of non-existence. Death means simply separation. Physical death is the man's spirit and soul separated from the physical body. Physical death is man's spirit. Remember, you are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Physical death is man's spirit and soul separated from the physical body. Then there's spiritual death. Spiritual death. Spiritual death is man's spirit separated from God as Father because of a nature of sin in the spirit. Spiritual death again, spiritual death is man's spirit separated from God as Father. God cannot be that person's Father. God cannot be one with that person. God cannot have relationship in the spirit with that person because God is holy, he's perfect, he's righteous. Spiritual death, again, is the man's spirit separated from God as Father, from having God in their life as Father, from having spiritual relationship with God. And then eternal death. Eternal death is man eternally separated, eternally sent to the lake of fire, and separated from God forever. That's eternal death. An example of this for physical death is found in Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke, the 16th chapter. And in Luke, the 16th chapter, we have two people that are mentioned. One of them, it's actually a reference to what happened to people that died in the Old Testament. Luke, the 16th chapter, and we're going to see here what happens at physical death. Luke, the 16th chapter, not only physical death, but we're going to see that there was one person that was spared and one person that ended up in hell. Luke, the 16th chapter, and verse 19. Oh, I'm so glad that you're not going to end up eternally in hell. I'm not going to live eternally in hell. You and I, we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We have been born again. That's not where we are headed. No, we have heaven to look forward to. In Luke 16 and verse 19, it says, there was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, doesn't mean that if you're rich that you're not going to go to heaven. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. In fact, Jesus, he had money, and he prospered the people that he came in contact with. First thing he did with Peter when he came in contact with Peter is prosper him. He had the best fishing day of his whole life, and I'll tell you something, Peter didn't go eat all those fish. The disciples came to Jesus one time, said, Jesus, you know, should we go and buy food for these 5,000 people? They did have money. He's not saying that if you're rich, you can't go to heaven. We need finances. Tell a Jew that knows their Old Testament covenant that they're supposed to be poor, I'll tell you something, they won't believe you because they know that prosperity is in the covenant. It's the same with you and I. But the point is, if we trust in these material things, just like if that becomes the God in our life and it keeps us from receiving the new birth, which is what happens with a lot of people in the world, they live with riches and abundance of a lot of things, and that's their God. And they end up missing God's answer for life, and that is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, just wanted to put that in here. In Luke, the 16th chapter says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. So this guy had a position. He was a well-respected man. If you were wore purple and fine linen, then you were somebody in those days. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Doesn't mean you're supposed to be sick either, but we just see somebody that had pretty bad life, but he did make a decision, and that was to believe in God and God's redemptive plan in the Old Testament, which was salvation through the Redeemer that would come. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. Verse 22, and it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He died, but notice, and was carried. He died. He died physically. But it says he was carried. Well, what was carried? Not his body. No, this man was spirit and he had a soul, and lived in a body in the earth. But when you die, your spirit and your soul leave your body. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom was the place that all the Old Testament saints went to. They couldn't go to heaven that time because Jesus hadn't paid the price for their sin nature. He hadn't died on the cross. He hadn't resurrected. But they went to a place called Abraham's bosom, which was a place of protection in hell. And that's where they waited. For many years, they waited for a rapture. They waited for Jesus to come and impart eternal life into them. You know, Peter even referred to that in Acts, the second chapter, in the first sermon that was preached on the day of Pentecost. It says, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. He's referring to the body. So the beggar died and his body was buried. The rich man died, his body was buried, but they were carried somewhere else, they being spirit, having a soul. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. So we got the rich man that did not accept God's plan of redemption through faith in the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they had to offer animal sacrifices regularly. And the reason that they offered those animal sacrifices is that they spoke of the fact that there would be a Redeemer that would come that would give his life. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they put their faith in what the sacrifice stood for, which was that there would be someone that would come that would give his life so that man could be born again, man in the Old Testament was saved. He couldn't go to heaven because man had to wait until after the cross in order to receive eternal life. And so there were some Old Testament saints that went to a place called hell. And hell is, there's also three hells, and you have in the Greek three different words. There's hell Hades, there's hell Tartarus, and there's hell Gehenna. And here we have Lazarus, or we have the rich man in this place hell, which is hell, Hades. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember, Abraham was there, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise at Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So there was a place of protection, and this place of protection is where all those Old Testament saints were. And at one time, it was not called Abraham's bosom. It still existed. But then came Abraham, and God promised Abraham that a Redeemer would come through his seed, and anybody that believed in that Redeemer that would come through Abraham's seed, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, he was saved in the Old Testament and went to this place called Abraham's bosom, waiting for the time that eternal life, the new birth, would be given unto them. They were born again, and that's what Jesus did when he was crucified on the cross. And then he went to hell, paid the price for sin, and then he went to Abraham's bosom and imparted eternal life into all these Old Testament saints that died in faith, believing in the coming Redeemer. And they were born again. And so we see here in these passages of Scripture that their bodies were buried, but they still existed. And that's the way it is. Your spirit never comes to the place that it no longer exists. It's the same with your soul. It doesn't come to the place that it doesn't exist. We see emotions here. We see the will involved here. We see that that their spirit wasn't just a blob of a something, but that the spirit has shape. Your spirit looks like your body. They recognized each other. And that's the way it is spiritually. And so spiritually, you do exist for eternity. And when you go through, a person goes through physical death, the spirit is separated and the soul from the body. That's exactly what we see in this example here in Luke, the 16th chapter. So you are spirit. And the reason that you had to be born again is because of spiritual death, because in the spirit you were separated from God. God is holy. He's pure. He's just. He's righteous. And you had a nature on the inside of your spirit called sin. I'm not talking about all the things that you've done. People do not go to hell because they did a whole bunch of bad stuff, but it's because they have a nature on the inside of their spirit called a sin nature. And Satan is the father of this fallen nature that before we were born again, we had on the inside of us. He was our father. He's the father of that sin nature. That's what I mean when I say that he spiritually was the father of that sin nature that was on the inside of our spirit. And you and I, in the condition that we were in, had to be recreated in the spirit. Let's go to another passage of scripture where we can see that we have been recreated through the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5, and verse 17. Oh, this is a powerful passage of scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, guess what? You are in Christ. I'm in Christ. We have identified ourselves with him. We've received him as our Savior. We are born again. Therefore, if any man, so you could put your name in there. Therefore, if Mark Irvin or whoever you are, be in Christ. I'm in Christ. He's in you. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are brand new in the Spirit because you are in Christ. And that was accomplished through you being born again. Why did you have to be born again? Why did you need to be recreated on the inside of the Spirit? Because, again, you had a sin nature. Sin nature. In the Spirit, you had a sin nature. You no longer have that sin nature now, but you did. You had a sin nature. Not anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. You're brand new. You've been recreated on the inside. But look at this in Romans, the third chapter. Romans chapter 3. Here's the reason. Romans 3, in verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Well, why did we sin? Because we had a sin nature. Remember, I said a little bit ago that what is in the spirit is to operate into the soul, and what is in the soul is to operate into the body. And if the center point of who we are is sin, then it's going to affect our soul, and it's going to affect our body. And that's the problem that we had. We came into this earth. We came into this earth in a physical way. And there was a time that we yielded to the temptation that came from this outside world in. We yielded to that. We sinned. And when we sinned the first time, we took into our spirit a sin nature. No, you were not born with that sin nature in your spirit. The Bible says that God is the Father of spirits. God does not have sin to give. Your human spirit, when you were conceived, did not have sin in it. And I say that because babies that are miscarried or for some reason lose their life before they get to a point of becoming an adult or a child, they don't go to hell. God is the Father of spirits. Paul said that I was alive once, the law came, sin revived, and I died. Paul also talked about being called as an apostle from his mother's womb. The spirit is placed on the inside of the body when a child is conceived, and in that spirit, and that spirit comes from God, in that spirit is a pure nature, a righteous nature. It came from God. But there's a time when a child sins, and when a child sins for the first time, he takes into himself a sin nature in the spirit. Same thing happened to Adam. When Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he took on the inside of him a sin nature. And that's the reason that we must be born again. We must get rid of that sin nature. We must be completely recreated on the inside. Romans 3:3 says, all have sinned. The moment that you sinned the first time, you took within yourself in the spirit a sin nature. And from that point on, you had to be born again. That's why it's important. As soon as you can pray with your children, when they know right from wrong, as soon as you can pray with them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I encourage you to do that. Well, I see that our time is up for our second lesson on the new birth. Wow, we've covered some things today. It's been an awesome, awesome time again, an awesome flow. And I want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, I thank you for each and every person. I thank you again for the opportunity to be able to teach and preach your word. And I thank you, Father, that we're able to go all over the world to many, many different nations and to lay the foundation of your word within the hearts of each and every person that they can grow, they can develop, not only for their benefit, but be able to help me to take this message all over the world that other people can know Jesus, that other people can grow in their relationship with you. And I thank and I praise you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I look forward to being with you again in our next class. This is Mark Irvin as we continue on with our class on the new birth.